Good morning, Chodesh. We're up to Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Chaf. But before we go to Pasuk Chaf, we have to go back and do a few Rashis. Okay, let's go back and do a few short Rashis. Let's go back to Pasuk Zayin. Okay, go back. We did this for just review it very quickly. Okay, Pasuk Zayin, V'alti Yukavo Sechem Uchachechem, don't be stubborn, Pisram V'im Tam Adayim, Boit Chabanu Ushiyala B'Yolein Melech Ashur Alti Kevo Sechem Kol Dor V'Dor Shoyim Lefnechem. Don't be stubborn. Don't think that he's simply over here addressing, Chizkiyo is addressing the Aser Sashvatim, and the Aser, Pasuk Zayin. I'm reading the Rashi in Perek Lamed Pasuk Zayin. He's addressing the Aser Sashvatim. He's telling them, don't be stubborn. Don't, even though for the last 150 years or even more, whatever it was, 200 years, you were 150 years, you were serving the Avodah Zarah in Beisel and Don, and you have broken off from the Malchus of Yehuda. Now is time to do tshuva. Don't be like your forefathers. Shall call the Vedar, shall yufneim umeis and umar ira lohem. And look back at history. Learn from history. Look what happened to them when they abandoned Hashem lohem kishazuos Hashem vayimalu bo moal vayidem l'shama kasherat hemroyim. Hashem had delivered them for destruction. Hashem gave them over into the hand of the enemy, like you see. And therefore, you should learn from your lesson. Learn from history and do tshuva and come back now and join us here in Yerushalayim. Ata pasiches al takshu arbechem. Don't be stiff-necked people. Don't be stubborn, which arbechem means arif. We mentioned it is the bone in the back of the head. Don't talk to me with chutzpah. When I speak to you, give me your attention. Look me in the eye. Don't give me a bowed face and show me the bone that is the opposite of your eyes. B'shuvchem al Hashem. When you will do tshuva, when you will repent to Hashem, achechem ubnechem yu l'rachm lefnei ashevehem. Hashem will grant rachmanis on your brothers and your relatives that are before the enemy. L'shuv l'aretz hazos. He's telling them some very powerful words. Even the kvar, even those people who already went into Golus, shahayu nilchamim im Yisrael, nilchamim im Yisrael, even those that went into exile, shahayu nilchamim im Yisrael, that fought with, I'm not sure what this means, nilchamim im Yisrael, vayichlu lohem, they withered away. Those that were at war, those that were exiled and were taken away by your captors to Shivya, v'im teshuvu elav. If you return to Hashem, then yitnim l'rachm l'fnei shoveim l'shuvam l'eretz hazos ki chanun v'rachum Hashem elokeichem. They removed, they listened, some listened, few people listened, they did come, and they removed all of the mizbechos and the altars, hamikatros, b'mokom shahoyu bo kohanim b'levim, and they began to, Pasuk Yudalid, the eskol hamikatros hesiru, the mikatros, b'mokom shahoyu bo kohanim b'levim, places where the Kohanim and the Levim, they together participate in cleaning out these different altars that were used to offer Ketores to Avodah Zarah. Pasuk Tezvav, they slaughtered the Pesach, HaKohanim HaLevim Nichlamu, they were ashamed. She'ikvu l'hiskadesh, the delay was, they delayed in sanctifying themselves. I saw yesterday another interpretation of Nichlamu. Nichlamu means this going back on the debate between Chizkiyahu and the Sanhedrin, should they be ma'aber the Shana? Chizkiyahu said, yes, we should, and the Sanhedrin said, we should not. Now, I don't know really how it fits in, but they saw that Chizkiyahu seemed to be right. So now, Nichlamu, they were ashamed. Now, that's not what Rashi says, a different interpretation. They were ashamed that they had charata, they really should have sided with Chizkiyahu and right away agreed to be ma'aber the Shana, to give people more time to come and to clean the Beis HaMikdash and do tshuva. They realized had they succeeded in not being ma'aber the Shana, things would have been a lot worse. So that's, it fits a little bit better because we don't really find often this expression that
doesn't sort of gives you the wrong impression.
Yeah, the Gemara says the Sanhedrin, they were right, and they maintained their opinion. But here it's only not the Sanhedrin, the Kohanim and Levim. Okay, I don't know. I'm just throwing out this idea. There's also another idea. Another problem is that there were people that held out, and they held that Chizkiyahu was wrong. You're not allowed to be Ma'abar Lashana. If you're wrong, you're not allowed to be Ma'abar Lashana, then really this month, according to those people, is Iyar. Because they were, it was the second month. And if that's the case, then all of the sacrifices that are being offered are Chulin Da'azara. They don't have Kedusha. So they don't have Kedusha. What then are you doing the Shechita? If the Kohanim and the Levim secretly felt that everything that's happening here is Shloika Halacha, they would not be allowed to participate. The hypocrites. If it's Shloika Halacha, what are they doing? You can't be here. Yet they did participate. So they were playing both sides. They disagree. They held it's shloik halacha. Yet they are the ones, and the pasuk says, did the shechita and did the kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika, and did the haftarah for the emurim. So they were ashamed that they were playing both sides of the coin, and they were not honest with themselves. And therefore, they felt they had to do tshuva, and that's why Pasuk Tezvav concludes, Vayavu oiloi space Hashem. The Kohanim v'Halavim nichlemu v'yiskatshu v'yavu oiloi space Hashem. We're focusing specifically on the Kohanim and Levim who are doing the Avoda on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Many of them, according to some Shan, the pasuk is that they were lazy. They didn't feel that it can be accomplished in such a thing to clean the Beis HaMikdash in such a short period of time. But on a deeper level, there was this tension between Chizkiyahu and the Sanhedrin. If you allow them to be Shana, perhaps some of them took sides with the Sanhedrin, yet they contradicted themselves by participating in the Avoda. They realized that they're not being true with themselves. They have to either accept the psak of Chizkiyahu or completely remove themselves from the Avoda. And they did not. They kept both sides. They were felt guilty, and that's why they bring oilos to atone.
Was that the that they? In other words, it doesn't say that they did wrong. It says lo holy lo.
They didn't.
In other words, it's not.
They're in the middle.
They didn't agree with. In other words, lo holy lo. They didn't praise him. All right. But
they didn't object. They didn't object. So they're nishtahi nishtaher.
Analyze what the other things were that they didn't agree with them also.
The big issue was whether or not he was allowed to do
yeah, well, yes.
They were, whether well, or not, what to do.
They possibly know.
There were many issues. It's not clear.
Did they have chametz? Did they declare?
Oh, that's another issue. That's another issue. That's going to be another issue if it's really Pesach, that you now have chametz. They were not honest with themselves. They didn't fully accept with conviction that this is the halacha, and they were playing both sides of the game, and that's why they were embarrassed. They were ashamed at their behavior. It's a very unusual expression. One more time, look at the Rashi very simply. According to Rashi, very simply, the reason why they did not come forward immediately was because they did not believe that this could be possible, that the son of such a wicked man can turn things around to the other extreme in such a short period of time. Because Ochaz rejected the Kohan and the Levim from serving in the Beis HaMikdash, he locked the doors. And this is what they said. Efshur, could it possibly be? Esmal Ovad Ochaz, Avodas Chachavim, Ubino Yechizkiyahu Le'alter, immediately, B'shana Rishonim, Miyad, V'Chodesh HaRishon, V'yoyim L'Kohan and the Levim, L'Avod, L'Kel Echad, L'Vado, can it possibly be that his son in the first day of office is going to come in, all the Kohanim and Levim should come out of hiding and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yitzdaruch Lanu, and we're going to be needed? Can't be such a thing. They did not believe the reports. And now, Ulekach, therefore, Nis'atzlu, they were lazy, V'nisrashlu, they weakened their hands, Milavo, from coming, V'gam Shoh Yehuda Shalafon of his Niach Ochas, and furthermore, all the people of Yehuda also were rejected by Ochas. The people of Yisrael who wanted to bring korbanos were not allowed to do so. And then when they made an investigation, they saw that he was indeed sincere. He did want to open up the mikdash and do avoda. Then bohu, they came by iskad shukulam, but there was a delay. There was a delay because it was too hard to believe, and because they did not come immediately, they were ashamed. It's a very difficult pshat because they were legitimate in being pessimistic. pessimistic.
You know, it's a trap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's Rashi is a very difficult Rashi. Rashi is giving their side of the story, which seems to be very plausible, very very solid. And so then when they realize, no, that this person Yechezkel indeed is sincere, we're ashamed. Nothing to be ashamed about. You had okay, so it is something which is very unique. It's a very different type of expression. Okay, we learn over here what happened. It says here that the Kohanim did the Zrikot, that we know. Rashi is pointing out that even though it says they only did the Zrikot, we are certain from the Gemara that the Kohanim also did Kabbalah and Hoylach. We know that the carbon has four parts, Shchita, Kabbalah, Hoylach, and Zrikot. Although the Pasuk only says that the Kohanim did the Zrikot, it's self-understood that they did the Kabbalah and the Hoylach. And the only thing that the Levim did was the Shchita. Shchita, share a bazaar, and the Pasuk tells, well, if that's the case, why didn't the owners of the Korbanos themselves do the Shechita? Because the vast majority of them were Tameim. So the best thing to do is to let at least people who are Tahirim do it. The Kohanim were busy, so the Levim took their place. The same thing we learn yesterday in the Mitzudos. The answer is because most of the Jewish people, the Israelim, were Tameim. The Halavim, Hoyush, Al Shchitas Psechem Memelo, it was the Levim who did the Shchita. L'chol lo tohar, shoy Levi b'mekayma l'hakdish l'Hashem. For all those that were not tohar, a Levi replaced him to sanctify the animal and to slaughter the animal. Ki achlu asa Pesach b'loy kakosuf. And the people that the pasuk now addresses, but what is taking place here? The people are tameim. How are they allowed to send a representative, a Levi, to do the Shchita for Karban Pesach when you are tameh? The halacha is if you are tameh, you are not allowed to have someone offer a Karban Pesach on your behalf. And certainly you're not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. What's going on here? So the Pasuk says that this was a Choyro Asha, at least according to Rashi. Ki ochlu es ha-Pesach b'loy kakosov, sheloy kehalacha. Rashi makes it very clear that the Karban Pesach in this year was in sheloy kehalacha, sheochlu b'tumo ki hispalol yichizkiu aleim. He was mispalol that Hashem should forgive them. It's not clear if he got a green light to go ahead, or it means that they didn't listen to him. They anyway did it, and then he was mispelled that Hashem should forgive them for their sins. There are two different approaches to understand what it means. Ki levavo hechin kach b'furish. Now he brings down this thing called a braisa of this braisa, which is called braisa of 32. 32 midos shagoda midosh. A very interesting braisa. It's a long braisa. Let's try to do the best we can with it. Kach mufurish ki levavo hechen. Chizkiyo, he directed his heart to return to Hashem. Kach mufurish bebraisa de Rabbi Eliezer beno shel Rabbi Yossi Haglili hamascheles. The braisa begins. B'chol mokom sha'ata motze divre Rabbi Eliezer beno shel Rabbi Yossi Haglili ba'agoda. Any time you hear, you see a sign that he's speaking, this famous person, Elazar ben Shaul Yosef Aglili, in Haggadah, asay oznecha ki'afar cheses. Make your ears like a funnel. In other words, put on your ears a big funnel to absorb, to direct every word that comes out of his mouth. He was a phenomenal darshan. And his words were diamonds, were gems. So listen very carefully to his words. Shenemar lahakshiv oznecha lisvuna, as it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, to hearken to understanding. Listen to him. He has a lot what to say, and your ears should absorb his wisdom. Here it goes. And what does he say? He says as follows. Mishloishim ushtayim midos ha'agada nidrash. There are 32 midos. Rabbi Michal, you familiar with this?
No.
There are 32 midos, 32 different...
He distinguishes Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, as opposed to, let's say, Rabbi Eliezer...
Rashbi's son, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rashbi. Rashbi's son was pretty much known as Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. That's the main on this. There's Rabbi Elazar without the Yud, and there is a Yud Rabbi Eliezer. So most understand that Elazar was the son of Rashbi without the Yud. And however, that's not. Okay, but this is okay. Let's see. So there's 32 midos ha'agod and nidrash. There's 32 different ways that are good. Now, I have no idea what that means, but that's not what we're focusing all over here on. One of the things that it said in this price.
It might be like keys or triggers.
Okay. different. Like if Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidreshes, there are 32 Midos Shahagoda Nidresh. Agoda has its own set of rules. The Zeh first rule is Ein Meshivin Al Adrush. You can't ask kashas. You can say whatever you want. You can get away with it. The Zeh Echad Nehem, and here is the first one. Nechlak has Zeh Echad Nehem. Nechlak has Seder. Nechlak has Seder. The Seder has been broken. Now, that's one of the rules. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's a concept. Which what? What does that mean? Nechlak HaSeder is one of the 32 rules of Agoda. Kigon Zeh. What is that? What Nechlak HaSeder? So it means like this. Because the pasuk here, what he's referring to is the pasuk is cryptic. Let's look back at the pasuk Yotes. Pasuk Yotes says. Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk Yud Ches. The two psukim do not flow together. That's what we call, what we would otherwise call the Nikra Kotzer. There are missing words. Look at the end of Pasuk Yud Ches. Ki hispalel yechizkiyahu aleihem lemar Hashem hatoiv yechaper be'ad. What? Be'ad what?
What?
That's in the middle of a sentence.
Right.
So it doesn't really bother us, because anyway, many of the psukim, which even makes sense, we have a hard time understanding what they mean. So anyway, we add interpretation, we add words to elaborate, to elucidate what it means. Right, and so it's not such a problem to us. But here, at least according to people that are more sensitive to the style of psukim, this is really a major...
The ad goes to the next person.
Oh, so that's what he wants to say. So this is what he calls Nechlak HaSeder. The Seder has been broken. So what is going on? May Hashem forget Ba'ad? And then it goes on, Ba'ad, on which we translated, when we learned this yesterday, on your behalf. May Hashem forgive Ba'ad Kol Kahal Yisrael. All right, let's say the pasuk would conclude with the words that Yichaper Hashem, Yichaper Ba'ad Yisrael. You would have no problem with that. You just need a noun to finish off the pasuk.
Does it make sense, Ba'ad Kol Levavo?
Oh, no, that does not make sense. That it cannot make any sense. No, that cannot make any sense. Hashem HaToiv, Yichaper Ba'ad, it can't make sense to say Ba'ad Kol Levavo. So you have to understand that it's interpreted to mean Ba'ad Kol Yisrael. But that's not what he says in this Agoda. In this Agoda, he says there's a thing called one of the 32 Midos called Nechlak HaSeder. And there, in that Brisa, in fact, he gives examples. Right? And here, and what is the example of HaSeder? Kegoin Zeh. And look at that. Divrei Hayam Paraglamet, Pasuk Yudches Yutes is an example of Nechlak HaSeder. Hashem Atav Yichaper Ba'ad. What does it mean? Then it goes on to say, Kol Mi Shekol Shekol Levavo Heichen Lidra Shalokim Lassos Pisco. So he's saying that you are going to add words. Exactly what you said, Mr. Glatter. That we're going to add words in order to make it flow into the next pasuk. Not like I told you, Be'ad Kol Yisrael. I think that's what the Mitzvah said yesterday. We'll come back to that in a moment. But we're saying Ba'ad, we're going to say Ba'ad on behalf of who? You have to add the words, Kol Mi, go into the next pasuk, and add the word Mi in between the word Levavo, Kol Mi, Shekol Levavo, Heichin, Lidro, Sholakim, La'asos, HaPischo, LaHakriv, Karbonoi, Afalpi, Shloi, Osu, B'taris, HaKodesh. Okay, so that's how he interprets the pasuk. He adds words, the point is, he's making a mikra kotzer out of combining two psukim. This we don't have. This is something that's extremely rare. We have very often in the Nach what's called the Mikra Kotzer, which means it's understood from the context. You have to add words into the pasuk to make sense out of the pasuk. But we almost never have that concept when you need to do that by combining two psukim together. That you don't have. A pasuk always ends with an idea, even if you had to add words. But to come to an idea when you have to add words only through combining two psukim, that doesn't exist. Except here's the exception, and that's called Nechlak HaSeder. Why may Hashem forgive them? Why is it needed Hashem to forgive the people that were sincere? Kiloi Taru. V'yudu kulam nitaru. Now he's saying that refers to the Yisraelim. The Yisraelim who lived in Shev, in Aser Sashvatim, they were not tar. However, Rashi says, but the Yehuda kulam nitaru, lefisha yukrayim li Yushalayim, vayuchayim nitaru, leskadeish v'losh of Yushalayim. The people living in Yehuda, who were in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash, they had plenty of time. They were able, and they were under the influence of Yechizkiyo, so they were able to mitar themselves in time for Pesach. But the people living in the Aser Sashvatim, until they got the mesh, until they got the letters, until they came, it was too late for them. Avul Rabbos, Ephraim and Menashe, Yisachar, Zvulon, from these Shvatim, Ein lohem kol kach pesha bedavar, they're not so guilty for the sin of eating the Korban Pesach instead of Tumah. Lefi shehayu lohem adavar rachok al yidei igros, because they were at a distance. Al yidei igros, the letters. Lo hayu lohem lahamtin, because they lahamtin. Ula acher melavoi ad sheiskachu, they did not have time to delay until they did not want to wait. If they, by the time they got the letter, if they would first at that point in time go to mikvah and retire themselves, then they would never come on time. Therefore, they immediately, as soon as they got the letter, they picked up their bags and they ran, and they barely made it on time. And once they came, they offered it in a state of tumah. So they're not so guilty. You had good intentions. To delay from coming, there wasn't time. It was not their fault. Lefichach, therefore, he was mevakesh rachamim upon these people from the Seres Hashvatim. Techaper ba'adam v'chein, like it says in the pasuk Yeshaya, Yoshoshu midbar v'tzia v'goymer. He gives another example of who nechlak hasidu. That's part of the brisa. I didn't look up the pasuk in Yeshaya. It seems there are another two psukim. There's another example there where you find the same idea, where there are two psukim which have to be combined together. And the way they combine together is by adding words in the middle of the break to make sense of the combination of two psukim. So this is a very interesting Rashi. Are you one of the 32 midos of Agada, where you take two psukim, you put them together? Now, if you just go back quickly to the Mitsudos, what we did yesterday, the Mitsudos does not learn like that. The Mitsudos, look back in Pasuk Yutes in the Mitsudos, Pasuk Yutes, Kol Levavo Heichin, who does it say that upon? Al Yechizkiyohu Choyzer. Rashi Mitsudos is not learning the pasuk like the Braisa of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yossi of Nechlak HaSeder. He learns they're completely two separate ideas. The end of pasuk Yudches says, "Hashem Hatov Yichaper Be'ad." May He forgive on behalf of who? On behalf of Klal Yisrael. Period. The idea is now over. Now pasuk Yudches begins a new theme. Yechizkiyahu was a tzaddik. And Yechizkiyahu called Levavo Heichin. He went and he directed his full heart. The reason why he was successful at this point in time in influencing Klal Yisrael to come into Tshuva, because Yechizkiyahu was a tzaddik Yisrael Olam. He directed his heart fully. Lidrash Olakim Hashem Elokei Avosav, but V'loi Kitaras HaKodesh. He was not successful in influencing them to bring it Kitaras HaKodesh, but at least they brought the Korban Pesach. They brought the Korban Pesach in Tumah.
It's mashma that it would have been Cheskio's fault that they weren't tahor.
We're not getting into blaming people. That's
no,
not.
This is what
the Loi Kitaros, he did not succeed. According to the Mitsudos, he did not succeed. Look how the Mitsudos see this learn. Look how he learns. The Mitsudos see him. Look how he says.
He's saying that according to the sheet of the Rabban that he didn't do right.
Yeah.
So he's Yechalibai.
Yechizkiyahu was the Shem Shemayim.
You know, they didn't come. They didn't come to Kedusha. But forgive me because they came.
Okay.
I got them to come.
Okay, so we have over here a Yesoidei Sticker Machloikes between Rashi and the Mitsudos, how to learn these two psukim. When it says in the pasuk Kol Levavo Heichin, is it going back on the previous pasuk that Mr. Glatter right away suggested? And that's how Rashi learns. Levavo Heichin refers to the Jewish people, to the people of Yisrael, not to Yechizkiyahu. And if you want to say that, you have to say this concept of the 32 midos. One of the 32 is Nechlak HaSeder. The order of the idea has been broken into two psukim, which needs to be combined to adding words. Or you learn like the Mitsudos, that no, the theme is over. We'll figure out what it means, Ba'ad Yisrael, and then Pasuk Yutes begins a new concept, the concept of praising Yechizkiyahu for his service.
Rashi and Mitsudos have machlekes, the Chassidish Rebbe's. If you have a problem, if you go to the Rebbe will take care of the Avera that you took care of. He'll give you the
Rebbe will be Mechaper for you, the Avera?
Yeah, he'll
no such thing.
He'll guide you.
He'll guide you to the Tshuva. The Rebbe cannot be Mechaper. That's Mamish Christianity. That's Christianity, to say that the Rebbe can... The Rebbe... What was it called during the time of the Crusades? They gave... What was the term?
Indulgences.
What was the word?
Indulgences
that the God will forgive you as long as you go and you go on the Crusades, you'll be forgiven for all of your sins. Okay, that's total nonsense. Total apikorsis to say such a thing. Okay, so this is a very interesting type of Rashi of this idea of the Chav Gilma. Now, by the way, one thing I want to point out that I saw this Rabbi Eisenman. He says that the Rambam, I'm not sure where the Rambam is. He says the source. I don't know where would the Rambam say such a thing, but the Rambam says that the Chizkiyahu, he learns everything totally unlike Rashi. He learns that this was not Hayro Asha. Everything here was done properly because Rashi and the Metzudas are learning that the majority of Klal Yisrael were not Tanaim. Or at least a significant portion, the people of Yehuda, they were not Tanaim. They achieved the state of Tahara. So who was Tame? A minority. It might have been a very large minority. It might have been 49%, but there was enough people in Klal Yisrael who were Tahirim where it was not considered to be a Pesach Haba B'Tumah. And all of the people of Ephraim, Menashe, Zvul, Naphtali, what they should have done according to Rashi and according to the Mitzvot was waited until Pesach Sheni. The majority of Klal Yisrael are Tahirim, the people of Yehuda who are coming and bringing Karbonos. So there's a minority who are Tameim. Okay, so they will bring their Karbon Pesach and Pesach Sheni. Oh, they don't want to wait. They're so excited and they charged forth, and the Yechizkiyahu, whether he allowed them or had no choice, they brought it in a state of Tumah. He was mispalel to Hashem. Hashem forgave them, whatever it was. The Rambam says it's not the Pshat. When it says here Ki Rabas Ha'am, it means the majority of the entire Klal Yisrael were Tameim. And Mimela, it was mutul lechatchil for Klal Yisrael to bring a carbon b'tuma because tuma hutra b'tzibur. When the majority of Klal Yisrael are tameim, tuma hutra b'tzibur. So there was nothing wrong. Oh, there was nothing wrong. So what is the pasuk complaining about? What's complaining about is, like we mentioned yesterday, when you are mechanich, the Beis Hamikdash, we discussed that day yesterday about Chanukah, Sabbath, Chanukah, they had the oil, they found the oil. Why was it necessary for them to have the oil that's tahar? When Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, that's only when you're already in operation. But when you want to do it for the first time, Chanukah, Hamikdash, Hamishkan, the Mizbeach, then it's a hiddur that it should be done b'tahara. So here, al pi halacha, the Rambam says there was absolutely nothing wrong. Ki when it says ki rabas so'am in the previous pasuk yud ches ki marbe so'am rabas me'efraim u'menashe yisach zul lo yelo hititaru. And then the pasuk goes on to say we had before. Pasuk Yud Zayin is the main pasuk the Rambam focuses on. Pasuk Yud Zayin ki rabas bakohol asher lo hiskadoshu. The roiv was tamei.
How did you learn Pasuk Chav? What was the
Chet? There was no Chet. It's just that it was not ideal. It was not. Yirpo is a very strange thing. It means spiritually they were healed. This was a Tkufa that came right after Ochas. The people were sick, were spiritually sick. They were worshipping idols for at least 50 years. They were spiritually sick. So now when they did Tshuva, by bringing the Karban Pesach together as one group, Hashem injected them with spirituality and Hashem healed them.
According to the Rambam, what was Chizkiyahu?
Chizkiyahu, because there's a mile, that's the point I'm trying to explain, is even though al pi halacha, technically speaking, there was nothing wrong, tumo hutra b'tzibur, and you're allowed to bring a carbon when everyone is tame, it's not a good thing. It's not ideal. Especially when you're being mechanich, when you're doing it for the first time. And the example we gave was the Chanukah. Chanukah, they lit the menorah with Shem and Tar, and that was only because of a miracle. We didn't need the miracle. Tumur to Bitzibur. It's not so. When you're doing, you're being mechanich, a new mezbeach, when you're mechanich the mikdash for the very first time, then it must be done in the state of Tara. Here, Chizkiyahu was unable to achieve that milah. Technically, according to halacha, there was no hayro asha. There was nothing wrong. Tumur to Bitzibur. But it's not ideal to bring a carbon in a state of tahara. There's a very big dilemma when every single halacha is it called chutra or dechuya. Rachman al son, a person is sick, right? You call atzala mem. And that atzala mem goes on Shabbos and he does every malacha possible. Is it the pshat dechuya? I'm doing an avera. I mean mechal Shabbos, but I'm, this is what you're supposed to do. Or is it chutra? Shabbos doesn't exist. When you bikuach nefesh is involved, Hashem never gave the mitzvah of Shabbos. You don't have any. There's no guilt. There's nothing to feel.
Is the story with Reb Chaim with he needs a light open on Shabbos.
Yeah.
And his son, he told his son, open the light, and the son said, called someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And he told him, what did you do? You had to do the mitzvah.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have given it to someone else.
It's yours to do.
This question we're discussing about,
yes,
in a broader sense, is the question of kiruv.
Yes.
If you have someone who you want to be makarv to come to shul,
the greater goal, the greater good,
and he's going to come by car.
Right.
You're not telling him to come to car. You're doing. You tell him, I have an apartment and everything, and he insists on coming and bringing his whole family with car. He comes in. You say shalom aleichem. You give him a mishaberach. You know?
Well, even bigger, this was
he comes out from the Seder, he'll take himself, go to McDonald's, he'll get himself a chametz sandwich.
This is a very dangerous concept. Look, right. the biggest issue, conservative Judaism, their break of driving on Shabbos. The big thing, which, one of the big things which totally, conservative orthodoxy, JTS was pretty much orthodox.
Yes.
For a very significant period of time, many a very big Talmidei Chachamim were on their faculty. It wasn't viewed with the stigma that it has today. One of the major changing the points was, right, when they openly allowed driving. Their policy was, they were losing members all over the United States, to allow members to drive on Shabbos. To drive on, that was a major change. And that many people, that really took them off the deep end. And many people then viewed them entirely differently. And what was their reasoning? Exactly what you're saying. That if you're not going to let them come and drive to shul on Shabbos, they're not going to come at all. So we have to look at the greater good. And they'll manipulate the halach in all these funny ways, which so it's a very dangerous concept.
Yeah.
It's done today. I remember Rabbi Buchwald spoke about it. Rabbi Buchwald, who leads the Shabbos Course America, he's one of the major, incredible, successful kiruv personality professionals in this in America, in the world. And he really, his theme is, many years ago he spoke, was this issue. How do you deal with this issue of the greater good versus halacha? It's a very fine line where you draw the line. Chizkiyo is using that concept over here. It's not exactly clear what he did. It could have been that the people didn't give him a choice. They just did it. And now,
Rashi says that Yehuda had no problem because they were
tar. But the other people, what the word Hoyroa Shah has a connotation that he gave him the green light. It's one thing to say that they did it anyway. Okay, I will be mispalo to Hashem to forgive you for your sins. That's one thing. But to give you the green light, to put up a sign, Rabbi said, this year you can bring a Korban Pesach when you tame, that's a shocking statement. It's like telling you can go drive to shul on Shabbos.
Hoyroa
Shah. Oh, today you wouldn't get away with that. It doesn't go like that. So what exactly is going on? Obviously, it's a very fine line, and it's not.
The question is, if they took advantage of most. They said most of the people were tamed.
Yeah.
So therefore, for this period of time, we'll do away with it because of majority.
No, that's the Rambam says that. That's a different approach.
Can they say, most at this time, most of the people drive on Shabbos, therefore...
No, you can't say that. When it comes to Tumah, there is a legal principle of Tumah Hotra B'tzibur. There is such a legal principle.
That's
Tumah. Only to Tumah. Only to Tumah that applies. So we have here a very powerful Machlekes Rambam on one side, Rashi, and many other Rishonim on the other side. What?
With that issue.
Today, no one's on the level today of Chizkiyo HaMelech where you can say Hayroa Shah. Pretty much today.
Today. When they went around getting money for the Holocaust,
yeah.
Shabbos.
Well, that's Pekuch Nefesh. That's Pekuch Nefesh. They took taxis, the Michal Shabbos. They went Mamish. That's Pekuch Nefesh. That's Ein Dover.
When Atzala started in Williamsburg, you had signs on the wall saying, all the Shkatsim who want to drive a Shabbos.
No, you can't bring a raya from that. Ein davar oimed bifnei pikuach nefesh. An example you want to give is kiruv. That's a very good example. Kiruv. You want someone to come Shabbos across America. He told us the dilemma. Shabbos across America only works. People are coming to the shuls on Shabbos. They're using conservative shuluting firms. Who knows? They even use churches to rent space in churches to go where people should come. Shabbos. Every single person that's coming to a Shabbos across America function is driving on Shabbos. How do you deal with this issue? this issue. So he's told us that basically he got the go ahead from the Gedolei Yisrael that you can do it. Just do it. Shtila hate. Quiet. And he's on the bottom of the sign. He should have small letters that if you want us to put you up, if you need to be put up, you're not allowed to drive a Shabbos. If you need to be put up somewhere, we'll take care of it for you. So you should cover yourself according to the letter of the law. But even though you know really what's going to happen. He said, this is what he told us.
To a Seder in Katamandu.
They're all driving. Parking lot is open.
Some are camping out, some are local.
No one's camping out.
But there's some people who come and drive.
We're going to come and drive.
You don't ask questions.
That's a question. You don't ask questions. What the conservative movement did was an entirely different league because it was policy. It was, this is policy, these are the laws, these are a part of our, I don't know what they call it, the constitution, our bylaws. This is a public statement, you're allowed to drive on Shabbos. That's already a whole different madrega. That's not just Hayra Shah. That's a chayra for doyros.
Is it the responsibility of the rabbi to tell that he knows somebody's driving?
No, not necessarily. That's a general halacha. Mutaf is shushayim al yumei zidin. That's another concept. You don't know someone is driving. Rabbi Przanski once says he was in a shul. He was in Mexico. Rabbi Stephen Przanski said he was in Mexico in a shul that's borderline Orthodox. And the president walked into shul in the middle of laning in front of everyone, and he said to him, "Why are you so late?" So the president said, "It's traffic."
He was waiting for the mayor to give him a boot.
Okay, left.
Well known that many people drove to Orthodox synagogues as well.
Yeah, so, maybe park a block away, but.
No, Hatzolah is Pikuach Nefesh. There's nothing to talk about. Hatzolah is Pikuach Nefesh. So that's all been dealt with. That's all part of Pikuach Nefesh. What? They just go. There's no Suffolk. What?
If a dispatcher
puts out a call, it's already been decided to go. If they're calling, you have a walkie-talkie, they're calling you.
They go even if it's a
shaykh. You have to. Darke Shalom, all the halachic issues have been dealt with. They're all very complex. And okay, well, let's go for it. Let's go for the
emergency room. You turn away people you don't think are in emergency. They determine what the emergency is.
Okay, let's go for the pasuk chav. Yishma Hashem el Yechizkiyahu. Pasuk chav. Let's try to finish the parak. Hashem listened to Yechizkiyahu. Okay, Hashem listened to his prayers. Vayirpa es ha'am, and Hashem healed the people. This is an incredible pasuk that we find healing in regard to spirituality. You would think, think only refers to physical ailment. But you see such a thing, there's something called a spiritual sickness. Hashem healed the people. Pasuk of Aleph. Vayasim neyisholanim tzim yushalayim esach chag hamatzah shivasim. We learned this yesterday. They made the chag hamatzah shivasim besimcha gedolu mahalim Hashem yoyim biyoyim, and they praised Hashem. They praised Hashem day after day. Halavim v'hakoyhanim v'chlei oz l'Hashem. A very unusual expression with utensils of oz l'Hashem. Let's right away see the mitzvot of Pasuk Chof through these psukim. Pasuk Chof, Ayishma Hashem, Umzeshem Hashem el tfilasai, v'chiper al ha'avon hazeh. And he atoned for this sin. It's very strange. The mitzvot says, on the one hand, it's hayro ashah, on the other hand, it's a sin. If it's Hayrasha, it's not a sin. If you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it. So why then is it called a sin? So you see that it's somewhere in between.
This is a Yeridaya.
Yeah.
You have something spoken to Shishim. So does that become, could you be Machmo, or is there a Kedusha that it changed the thing from
Mishabich, it's mutter.
You should eat it.
No, those are things you should eat. There is such a that's a very far thing to say. You should eat it. The Yibdafka should eat to show that it's Mishabich.
No, they became the tzutzis of Tahara. This food became a holy.
There's a whole shahal midrabban. And if you have let's say three pieces of meat, one is kosher, one is not kosher. Now, Torah is what's the halacha? It's bottle. Are you allowed to eat all three in one shot? You're not supposed to. You're only supposed to eat two in one shot. You have to be soymach for the one that you're not eating, because if you eat all three in one shot, then you're definitely eating non-kosher. So there are different parameters in bittul. It's mutter. All three are mutter, but not all three in one shot. So you see that you don't necessarily say mishapech, that it becomes infused with kedusha and the daila turns into a basar kodesh. It's not so simple. There are different opinions. There are different opinions on this matter. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs. It says here that Hashem was mechaper. Pasuk chafal v'yav v'yas. It's limited the dvar kavonos. The v'yas they done bedvar hakavonos hakavum. They brought the kavonos. Now mechlei oz. This is a very unusual expression. Yeah, we did the psukim. So they brought the korbanos. Pasuk chafal. They brought the korbanos. They brought the shivas yom. They celebrated the shivas yom. It's simchah gedol. Mahal Hashem b'chol yom b'yom daily. Halavim v'akoyhanim. Bechleos. What is that? What does it mean? Kleos. Bekalim. The mitzvah says chazokim bechashivos. They are very, they are strong. Why are they oaths? They're mighty kalim.
Stradivarius.
Kleos. They're mighty kalim. It means they're choshev. It's a way of describing, according to Rabbi Mitzudos, they are choshev. What does the Radak say? Look at the Radak. There are many translations of these words. Al derech mecharker b'chol oz. Mecharker means you are...
It's dancing.
You
isn't that how David HaMelech is the word you David
HaMelech They play, they gave it all they got. B'chle oz. So oz is not going, according to the Radak, oz is not describing the utensil. According to Mitzudos, it's describing the kalim are kalim of oz, meaning oz is a synonym for choshev. They're beautiful kalim. They're very distinguished kalim. When you walk and you see the orchestra with these massive kalim, you're impressed. According to Radak, it means no. They were ordinary kalim. It was a cheap second-hand violin they were using, but they gave it all they got. They gave it all they got. They played with enthusiasm. A third interpretation I saw is, you ever try to play a trumpet? Or try, so it's not for everyone. Even to blow a shofar, you have to have the lungs. There are certain kalim, there are certain wind instruments, you really need to have a great set of lungs to blow. Even a shofar. Most people are not, can't, forget about the technique of how to blow, you need a good set of lungs to blow a shofar. So these instruments were very hard to play. And you needed to be physically strong to get the sound out of the instrument. So that's the third interpretation of Bechlei Oz. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasik. Rashi Bechlei Bechlei Oz Bechatzotzer's trumpets. So Rashi is not really saying much, he's just saying that the musical instruments were trumpets. Okay, Pasik Chavez. Vayedaber Yechizkiyo Alev Kol HaLeviv HaMaskilim Seichel Tov LaHashem. A very unusual expression. He spoke to Levi. Now here he's describing the Levim who are wise. A repetition of the word Seichel. On the heart of Levim, Hamaskilim, who are wise, Seichel Tov, with good wisdom. I guess you can be wise and not use your wisdom for good. Here they use their wisdom for good, LaHashem. Vayochlu es hamoed shivas hayomim. Now what's the moed? Everything here in these psukim is very bizarre. Yes. The moed here simply refers to the carbon. They ate the carbon chagiga. For 7 days, Pesach, you're supposed to have is samachta b'chagecha. What simcha? Ain't simcha ela basar. What basar do you eat? You eat carbon shlamim. So here, referring to the moed, it's a borrowed term, the festival, the korbanos that were offered on the festival, which means the shalmei chagiga, they ate the moed shivas hayamim, mezabachim, they were sacrificing zivche shlamim. Now here's another very powerful word, umisvadim lahashem elokei avoseihem, and they were confessing. Why were they confessing? Because of their sins. Because this was in the aftermath of Ochos. Every single day they came to a new recognition of how far they had fallen, and therefore they continuously confessed. Which is a little bit problematic, because you're not supposed to, that's not what you do on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not a time to be sad. There's a time to do tshuva, and there's a time to have simcha. Pesach is not a time to do tshuva. Pesach is a time to do simcha. You don't say, slach lo novin kichatanu on Yom Tov. So, yet it says the misfadim now to in. So take away that difficulty before you see the Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Look right away in the Targum. Pasuk of Beis says in the middle, okay, the shiva yomim dovchein, they were sacrificing divchei nichsas kutshaya, sacrifices, holy sacrifices. And then he says, umehodon. Now notice in the parentheses it says, svarim acherim, umevadin. Umevadin means to confess, which has a connotation sin, but the word umehodon means to give praise. And that tells us, according to at least this version, that the word umisvadim does not necessarily mean to confess sin. It's an expression of praise. Now, what this is right away cited as a very important example for what we call vidui maisos. What does a person do in the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle? You go to the Beis HaMikdash and you say vidui. You say, the words are, asisi kechol asher tzivi. What are the words? The words are, v'nisa v'yamarat lefnei Hashem Elokecha, bi'art ya'kodesh min habayis, v'gam nisativ la'levi, la'ger, la'yosem, v'la'amona, kechol asher tzivi, kechol mitzvah, asher tzivi, you go through something called the vidui maestros, and then you say hashkif Hashem lochach mimon kachach and Hashem lovorech asayim lochay yisrael. Now remember those words. It's kedai to say those words because let's move to the end of the parak. Now we're going to have time. We're running out of time, but let me just make this point now. Parshas Kisavo. Okay. Parshas Kisavo. Right, after Bikurim. That's not part of Bikurim. That's not part of that. People confuse that the Vidui with Bikurim. Okay, there's the Bikurim. V'ato hinei hevesi as priho, that's the Bikurim. V'samach nebuchol atov, kisichale, okay, p'sheni. It's in Perichov HaPasuk Yud Beis, kisichale la'aser. Okay, it's after Bikurim is over. Bikurim is finished. We're done with Parsha Bikurim. So whole new sugya. Ki sechale li atzer es kol maser tivoscha bashona hashlish es shnas hamaser. V'nasata la'levi la'ger la'yosam v'lo almono v'yachlu v'sherech v'saveyu. Okay, v'yamarta l'fnei Hashem lokecha bi'ar tekesh min habayis v'gam nisativ la'levi la'ger la'yosam v'lo almono v'chol mitzvoscha shet tivsoni v'lo yavarti mi mitzvesech v'lo shechachti v'lo yachalti v'yon mimene v'lo yviarti mimene mitame v'lo nasati mimene l'meis. Shemati v'chol b'kol Hashem lokoy asi sikuchol asher tivisoni. And how do you conclude? This is critical for our sugi for the different miyavim. Hashkifa, hashkifa, hashkifa. Mimoyin kachcha min hashemayim uvarich samcha es yisrael uveis ho adama. Asher nasat lanu kasher nishvat avsenu eretz zavas cholud vash. But the key word here is mimoyin kachcha. Now that I've done my duty, look down from your abode, heavenly abode. What is this term? Everything we've read from this the second Ali in Parash Kisavo, in Chazal's vocabulary, this is called Vidui Maestros. That's Chazal's vocabulary. It doesn't say the word Vidui here at all. It just says these words. Why is it called Vidui? So it's a big issue because l'chor, that's not the right word. Vidui means to confess your sins. That's the way we use it. And there's no confession. Everything here is good. It's a declaration. So a declaration is not a confession. It's a whole different connotation. So there's a lot of drush. One of the more popular ideas is the reason why it's confession is because you always could have done more. Whatever you've done, I gave my sa'ani, I gave to the kohen. I could have given him more. I could have given it to him with more dignity. I could have eaten my ma'aser sheni in a more mohudik way. You could have, anytime you praise yourself that you've done something, you're patting yourself on the back. You're also confessing subconsciously or backwards because I could have done more. That's one interpretation. But another interpretation is that we got it all wrong. Our vocabulary is not correct. Vidui really means like what you said, it means to give praise. And when you are making this statement, Chazal is saying, you're giving thanks to Hashem. Exactly. You're giving thanks to Hashem. That you gave me the opportunity. Okay, everything in life is an opportunity. You do a mitzvah, when you give up of yourself, you're really getting a lot more than what you're giving. Because by you giving, it's an opportunity for you to better yourself by being a good person and give. So the reason why Chazal called this declaration Zidui Maestros is you're really giving thanks to Hashem Hoida for the opportunity. What's the proof? So one of the sources cited is this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed, the pasuk that we just said. The Chizki, it's Pesach, and what are the people doing? Umitzvadim, Pasuk of Beis. They're celebrating, it's Pesach, right? It's Pesach. What do you do on Pesach? You say Halal on Pesach. You say Halal. And they offer the Vayechu as Hamoyit, Shevasyamim, Mizabchim, Zivchet, Shlomim, Umitzvadim. And what are they doing? They're giving praise to Hashem. How do you know you're giving praise to Hashem? Well, from the context, you don't say it's you're not clapping al chet on Pesach. That's not the, you got the holidays all mixed up. You're clapping al chet on Pesach. And the Targum. the Targum. Targum D'Oyam is not Mamish Sinai, the Targum. Whoever, we don't even know who wrote the Targum, but it says Umil Hoidon. They are giving praise La Hashem Elokei Avosehem. Okay, so it's a very nice makar. Misvade means praise, not necessarily confession, and that changes the whole picture of what vidui means.
Okay. And also what you told us last time, you were responsible. Because remember you said that Pasuk Gimel.
Yeah.
So look at the end, you're braving. You would tell us this.
Right, how could you break? So that's what, how do you, what's the answer?
So yeah. Your answer was, and I have it written down.
Wow, look at this. No, I don't.
The term wants to make you aware of the high standards.
Yes.
That you are being held to. So if this is what you are thinking, that you are a great person and that all mights of us, Hashem wants you actually to say it. And this is how you really feel, that you actually did say it. And then you'll be embarrassed by, when you think about it, maybe the things I didn't really do.
You're embarrassed. We want to provoke you. We want to...
Hashem wants to trigger your...
embarrassment.
You feel like a big chef, but then...
Okay, I'm not clear on this. You gotta have to. You'll have to fill me in.
Oh, you want to switch places?
You'll have to fill me in. Okay, so this is like, now the reason that we're out of time, but we're out of time. I just want to fill you in that this word vidui fits with the end of the perek. Just jump ahead. We're not going to do it now, but jump into the last pasuk in the perek, pasuk of Zayin. Vayekumu hakayhanim halivim, vayevorchu esa'om, vayishama bekoilom, and they listen to the people. Vatovo sifilosom limo'on kotsho lashamayim. Very powerful pasuk. The prayers of the levim entered into the ma'on. How do they know that? You don't have such a pasuk in Chumash, pasuk like this in Nevi'im. Their prayers entered into the abode, the Ma'on. The only place you have this connection of Vidui and Ma'on, the combination of Vidui and Ma'on, is in Parshas Kisavo, the Vidui Maestros. And when you do Vidui Maestros, what's the conclusion? Ashkifa Mima'on Katshacha. Now, so there's a connection. Now, I don't know the details. We have to work on the details. What is, but you do see a pattern. At least we can see that there is some type of concept of giving praise, and when a person succeeds in giving praise, his praise enters the highest dwelling in Shemayim. Okay, before one thing we want to conclude, it says that they ate. Now this fits very, very much in line. The eating here was a spiritual eating. How do we know that? Just like it says that Hashem forgave them, right? It says, Hashem healed them. Pasuk of Vayishma Hashem El Yechizkel Vayirpo Esam, Hashem healed the people. So we see that the words being used here are not meant to be interpreted in the physical sense. It's meant to be interpreted in the spiritual sense. Likewise, when it says that they ate Es Hamoed, we right away disturb. The Moed? What do you mean they ate the Moed? Right. So that means the korbanos that were offered. If that's really true, there's repetition. And then it says Mizabachim Zivche Shlamim. What? Didn't we just say they ate the Moed? If they ate the Moed, that means they already sacrificed the Korbanos. So you'll say it's stylistic purpose. It's just, that's how the Pasuk writes. They ate the Korbanos, they sacrificed Korbanos, different types of Korbanos. You can force an interpretation into the Pasuk. But if you tie it to Vayochlu, like it says at the end of Parshas Yisro, that who was it? Eldad Umeidad. It says Vayechazu es Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu. Who was it? Who was it that said that about? Not Aviu. At the end of Parshas Yisro, they went to Shemayim. End the Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, end the Parshas Mishpatim. 2:28. It says, Mare Kvoid Hashem. Okay, before that, Vayal Moshe. No, before that. 2:28. You have it? Here it is.
2:27.
Here it is. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Yud. Hey, Pasuk Yud. Vayiru Eis Elokei Yisrael. Vesachas no before that. Oh, yeah, okay. Vesachas Raglav Kamasi Livnas Asapi. Uchetz Mashem Lotoyar. The El Atzilei Bnei Yisrael, the young ones. Lo Sholach Yado. Vayechazu Es Ho Elokim. Vayochlu Vayishtu. What does that mean? They ate and drank. Does that mean they mamish? They had a sandwich. They had a him. They had a frankfurter, and they were sitting there looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and eating a frankfurter like a baseball game. Is that what it means? Some don't want to learn like that. Okay, so it's not clear what Rashi means either. So many mafarshim doesn't mean that the imam doesn't mean here they ate and drank. It's not mistav there. When you're looking at Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're eating and drinking a frankfurter. It's not mistav. The two don't go together. You would never leach a madrega. It means they took in, they absorbed the kedusha. They saw Hashem, and there's nothing more satisfying in life than a spiritual experience. You think when you eat a frankfurter, you're satisfied. The real satisfaction comes from spirituality, vayochlu vayishtu. And with that interpretation here in Parshas Mishpatim, you inject the same exact idea in Divrei Hayamim, when it says that vayochlu es hamoed, they ate up the yomtif. The yomtif, the simchas hamoed, the spiritual experience of coming back to Kodesh Baruch Hu and bringing the Korban Pesach, and being together and saying halal was satisfying. It was a satisfying experience, something they never had. Vayochlu es hamoed, and now there's no repetition. And it says, and the 7 days, mizabchem ziv Hashem, they offer korbanos as well, umisvadim, and they gave praise to Hashem, la Hashem elokei avosim. So this powerful pasuk packed with a lot of ideas. We will stop here.